Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come inside, said a co-host on a show that's not about ELP, but about Paul McCartney. Welcome back, everybody, to another installment of Two Legs. This is episode number 163, and I'm one of your co-hosts, Andy Nichols, and joining me is my partner in crime and Two Legs founder, Thomas Hunyadi. Good evening, Thomas. How are you?
I am good, Andy. How are you, my friend? Doing well, I hope.
Very well. We're back in the saddle here, as it were, recording our first kind of post-new show, post the fest. We're still decompressing from our Festivus for the rest of us.
Right.
So, and enjoying that and recapping everything. And, you know, we've obviously been very busy on our channel. We hit 1,000 subs, so
yes,
last week. So
yes, it's been did. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah, it's been a pretty prolific week for Two Legs on the video aspect. So, and we did a contest, and people made some videos and commented. So that was really cool. So thank you, Matt Street, and everybody else for that.
Yeah, thank you for all the congratulations. Now there still is time to enter the contest. We'll end it sometime next week. We're hoping to go live next week to announce the winner. We're still planning this, you know, so it's still up in the air, and whether or not we're going to do a show or we're just going to come live and pick a winner, announce a winner or not. We'll see about that. We've got some ideas brewing. But don't forget, you have a chance to win the red vinyl of McCartney. That is from 2017, I believe. Yes.
Red
and then
vinyl?
This is the hat. Yeah, the red vinyl. This is the recently released Wings Wildlife Half Speed Master. So you have a chance to win both of those by entering comment section here. If you want to, all you have to do is tell us your favorite McCartney record per decade, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. What is your favorite album per decade? And you will be entered to win those two records. And we opened it up for the world. I mean, wherever you live.
Worldwide.
Yes.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of emails and comments on our channel. Even some videos made. So keep those coming. And Tom has the keeper of the goods. So stay tuned for that. Yeah. For 163 today, Tom came up with a really good idea. And it's a simple one, but I think it's a little bit of a fun challenge. Between the US and the UK, Paul's had 11, count them up, 11 number one songs between both countries. Out of those 11, eight of them were US number ones, only three in the UK. And those songs chronologically are, if you can score at home, Uncle Albert, My Love, Man on the Run, Listen to What the Man Said, Silly Love Songs, With a Little Luck, Mull of Kintyre, Coming Up, the live version, Ebony and Ivory, Pipes of Peace, and Say, Say, Say. So those of you McCartney scholars out there, you know which ones did well where. And Tom had an idea of, like, you know, if we had to rank these 11 songs, you know, from 11 to 1 based on what our choices are, almost like a ranking the tracks, but These are the 11 number one songs that Paul has scored between the two biggest markets in the world, the U.S. and the U.K. Only 11, and there's a lot of songs that Tom's going to talk about towards the end of the
show. 11.
Only 11. Should be about 40, and Tom's got a list of about, I don't know, half a dozen songs that were kind of really right on the bubble.
Top 10. Yeah.
And some of them that should have been number one, in our humble, biased opinion, but we'll put it out there, but... it was a good idea for a show to kind of just stretch, you know, dust the cobwebs off and get us ready, you know, get back on the horse here a little bit. So take it away, brother.
Well, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in this and here and just do a quick, it's been a while since we've done a little live, you know, unboxing here. So I just got something.
Oh,
recently.
Man, we have another show for this.
Well, you know, I just want to do it. I'm excited about this release, and I just
is
wanted
it a 45 or a CD?
Yeah, it's a 45. Yeah.
Let's see it.
So I just wanted to, just do this real quick, and, you know, really excited about this particular one, and it's got something to do with tonight's show, because it is a 45 that
songs?
Went to, yeah. So, and then it's an interesting one too, and this is. Where we go, and this is the what we call East Germany Mull of Kintyre Girl School 45. So again, East Germany, not just Germany, but East Germany. Yeah. So there you go. There's the
Hold it up a little bit more, bud. Let me see.
Yeah.
Amiga label.
Yes. So, and then there's girls' school right there. So again, I'll show this as part of the. Oh, it's great. Look at that. I mean, it's fantastic. You know, no, you don't see many wrinkles or tears or anything like that.
You never seen that one.
Yeah, nor have I until until recently. So I was really excited about, you know, seeing this. So I thought, well, you know what, you know, and the price wasn't terrible. So
did you win that one?
You know. No, it was just a straight up buy. Yeah.
Okay.
Straight up buy. So yeah, so there you go. That's the East German pressing of Moloch and Tyr.
Very nice.
Interesting. Okay, so where were we?
We were we counted off the 11 songs that
count down the 11 songs. Okay, so I'll start then with the number 11. And go for it. Yeah, and I've got it. This now this was the only one that was number one in the States and in the UK, and that is Ebony and Ivory. You know, there's got to be something on the bottom, unfortunately.
Has to be.
And yeah. And unfortunately, it you know, over the years, it just this song just really hasn't done it for me, you know, recently. So I put it at number 11. I mean, again, it's a nice sentiment. It's a nice, you know, little duet with Stevie Wonder. But other than that, I mean, it's just I don't think it's that great.
Something has to go at the bottom, and I have another collaboration at my number 11, but it's not that one. It's the other one. And I think on the basis of what Michael did to Paul, that's gotta go to number 11, you know, because he ripped them off. So on that basis, Say is my number 11. I mean, we love them all, but Say is 11 for me.
Right. And then so I'll go with number 10 and say that's my number 10 is Say. Now, you know, I've said many times that this song, I mean, you couldn't go a day or you couldn't go a half hour really without hearing this song, you know, or seeing the video. Absolutely.
Step right so this up, was step right up coming right. at the Mac and Jack's Wonder Post.
Mac and Jack. This was US number 1, and then it was close to being a UK number 1, but it went to number 2. In the UK. So, okay, partner, you're number 10.
Ebony and I, my number 10. We flip-flopped 11 and 10. Ebony and Ivory. I like the song a little bit more than Tom does. I think I never get tired of it. It's not, even though it's a mega hit, it's one that I don't have a burnout factor with that song. Schmaltzy, cheesy, call it what you want, but I can't get enough of it. The video, the 12-inch single, the white, all the artwork. I love it. I love it. So, but it's a duet. Because it's a duet, it has to go a little bit lower in terms of the rest of these powerhouses that are on this list.
And funny that I wouldn't have picked the song for him on that 89-90 tour. I mean, this was a surprise, really. I had no clue that this would be, like, looking back on it now, you know, I wouldn't have guessed that he would have pulled that out for the tour.
For the 89-90 tour, right? But then there he goes playing. Because we listened to it when we were driving around, remember?
Right.
Is that Hamish on this? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's number 10. So going to number nine, I'm going with Coming Up, which is the you know, here it was number one, and it was the live version. In the UK it was number two, but that was the studio version, right? That was
the
number
studio
two.
Version, and you know this, right? If you have the All the Best American and UK, as now you do, the studio version is the one on the UK, and that's why.
Right. Yeah. I'm a bigger fan of the studio version of this track. You know, I gotta go with just with my gut, and you know, the live version's fine, but I definitely prefer the studio version. I don't know how you say what say you, but I'm sure we'll find out soon.
Yeah, I'll save my thought. I will just say though, in reply to your ranking of it, it was so cool to hear Lawrence talk about it because he obviously felt it was very much a Wings song.
Right, right.
In a live setting. I know, you know, and that he felt it was a band and it was a true band hit. And it was something they had legs on to continue on with the band because the band had a number one single.
They had a number one single, and they should have done a U.S. tour that year. But we know what happened.
Right.
You know, the bust happened and the U.S. tour didn't happen. And, you know, like you said, it would have been kind of like the Silly Love Song thing during the 76 tour. I mean, you would have had a number one hit going into what would probably have been a successful U.S. tour.
And what's interesting, and I wonder if this is a sticking point for the members of Wings, because if you look at that record and how it's credited as Paul McCartney live at Glasgow. It's not credited as Wings, even though it's, if you ever look at that, it's just credited to Paul, even though it's a Wings live recording. And I always wondered if that kind of stuck in the craw of the Wings members at the time. Probably not. But I mean, technically, if you're looking at that saying, well, it's a live number and it's not just Paul McCartney, it's the Wings at Glasgow and, you know, live. It's just, that's always been a little bit of the technicality with that song, how it's credited. Because I remember when I saw it, I'm like, I remember actually thinking, is that Paul McCartney by himself? No, there's a band playing, like when I was a young kid. Because you're looking at the label thinking, well, live? Well, who's he live with? But now we know it was the band.
Right.
Interesting.
There you go. Yeah, so you're number nine?
Band on the Run. Solely because of the fatigue factor.
Right.
Which went to number one here on all the charts. I've got this nice little cheat sheet right here, and went to number three in the UK. So it was, you know, near number one in the UK, but number one here, in all the charts on all the trademark publications. Then, so that's why
it's fascinating that the three number ones in the UK, that two of them were in the 80s. And not while he was one of the hottest, you know, musicians on the planet, you know, throughout the 70s.
Gotta remember, there was a lot of
animosity, hatred,
in his home country in the 1970s. There was the journalists were not fair. The home journalists in the UK were not very fair to McCartney in the 70s. They were not. Yeah. So, you know, that's
okay. Number eight for me is, again, a song I really enjoy, but compared to the rest of them, you know, this is where it is. And that's Pipes of Peace. You know, adore that song. It's a great track. You know, it was backed with, So Bad, but then here in the States, So Bad was the A side and Pipes of Peace was the B side. So, and I think that went top 10. I have to go back and double check. Top 20 at least. Yeah. But anyways, but Pipes of Peace is a great track. It's deserving, I think, of its number one slot. Who knows how it would have done here? Again, it's kind of like that Mull of Kintyre thing. You know, whose idea is it to say that, you know, we'll put it out here, but we're not going to put it out there because maybe it doesn't fit those markets.
Which,
you know,
is such a, that's such an antiquated, archaic way of thinking now. Now a song comes out, it's out worldwide, right? But back, you know, even in the 80s, they were still thinking, is this song good for this market? Which the 80s is recent. I mean, it's 40 years ago, but still. You know, they're still thinking the 80s, they were thinking even as late as Once Upon a Long Ago, oh, that's not suitable for this market. Like, really? Really? Stupid.
It's Paul frickin' McCartney.
Put it out, clowns. But yeah.
All right, you're eight.
Eight for me is, again, another fatigue factor one for me. Great song. Love it. Number nine, UK. Number one here, and that's My Love. Love it. Love the song. It's just, I kind of took the ones that have been huge hits and kind of I put them in the lower half of my ranking. That's all.
Okay, that's fair. All. Fair enough. For my seven, I've got, again, it was the U.S. number one, wasn't released as a single in the U.K. So, again, go figure. I would have loved to have seen how this song would have done in the U.K. And that's Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. Yeah. I love the track. I think it was a surprise number one. When I think of this song, I don't think number one song. But I'm happy it was number one. Absolutely. But good song. But I just don't think it's a great. I don't think it's great.
You don't think it had hit all over this song? I mean, think
about
it.
Well, hit, yeah, hit, yes, top 10 maybe. But I just still don't see this being. It's just so, different.
With you, but
yeah, okay, that's fine. That's fine. Looking, I'm glad it's number one. I'll take it. I'll gladly have him take any number one that he can get. But again, it's just. It's just my ears,
It was quirky enough. It had all the studio gimmickry on it, and it was like a Beatles song again because it was full of all those hooks, right? So that's what the American buying public identified with him. Like if he had came out with the songs of all like Uncle Albert on his first solo album, or maybe critically it might have been. I know it went to number one, but that's what people were expecting when they wanted to hear songs like Uncle Albert full of melodies and twists and turns and it's a
great singing
song.
Great vocals on that track. I get it.
It's made a dent in people's lives when John Lennon is singing it at his 30th birthday party and there's a recording of him singing the song Hands Across the Water. I mean, come on. So I mean, if anybody can kind of get a tune in somebody's head, it's Paul. And
absolutely
worked.
Yeah,
I respect your opinion though.
Yeah. Seven for you.
Seven for me is going to be, we're going as 1975, US number one, UK number six. Listen to What the Man Said. Which I enjoy. I don't get tired of the song at all. I enjoy the studio version, which is a little more kind of studio heavy, brassy. The live version of Wings Over America is much more faster and quicker and rockier. And a little bit, it's very different than the studio version, but I love equal.
It
I
is.
Love both. It's very different.
Right.
It just kind of just starts on the live version. But the live version, it just cooks. I enjoy the live and the studio album. And I love the fade out with the sax, which goes into Treat Her Gently. So that's a huge hit, but one I don't get tired of. Do not.
Good. All right, making it to six. If we were to do this track, let's say back in 89, 90, this would probably be last on my list. But going to the big worldwide number one, number one everywhere but here, and that is, the Mull of Kintyre that we were just talking about there. This one has been a grower for me, and it's continuing to grow for me. I enjoy it more and more every time I hear it. I don't play it often because I don't want to get that burnout factor on it. But, when I do play it, I really dig it. And I just, I love Paul's vocals. I love the, I love that that's an acoustic feel to it. And, maybe London Town may have done a little bit better on the charts if, in the UK, if it was, I know it went to number two here. I don't think it would, mattered for here, but it didn't go number one in the UK. But Mull of Kintyre is a wonderful song. What's that?
I think it went to two in the UK also.
UK too. Yeah. Well, maybe it would have went number one if Mull of Kintyre was on London Town. I mean, who knows? But
it's funny when you think about his decision to leave EMI in the States at the time because he felt that he didn't get proper pushing really for London Town. Obviously, he stayed with EMI, but in America exclusively, he went to Columbia, and London Town was his last, EMI Capitol release. So, but obviously, it didn't do, obviously, A Girl's School and Mull of Kintyre didn't work here. And London Town went to number two and had a huge number one hit on it. And he felt the need to switch and go in a different direction, which I'll always find very interesting why for America, he wanted to go with a different distribution label.
I get that. I mean, it was released in 77, whereas London Town was released in 78, and
it was all recorded
during the same time. He's got so many songs, and you want to get as many songs out as possible. But I firmly believe that this song wouldn't have made London Town any better
than what it already is,
because I consider it a very, maybe a second half of McCartney's, catalog. myself, you know. So so that was six, so you're six.
Six for me. We're going to go with Coming Up, the live version. No real rhyme or reason for where I mean, I enjoy it. I don't get tired of it. You had said you prefer the studio recording. It kind of depends on my mood. I know that John Lennon famously loved the version of the studio album. He liked that, Paul, and the quirky, weird one. I could listen to both. I grew up listening to the live. That was the first one that I knew. Obviously, All the Best was my first compilation too. So American version. So that's how I knew it. But I do remember seeing the video and going, wait a minute. That sounded like the same song, but it's really different. It's really different. I enjoy both versions equally. I probably like the studio one just a little bit more just because of how different it is. I think Kid O'Toole actually on our show at one time, she said she prefers, she goes, this isn't really popular, but she prefers the live version. She prefers the live version over the studio one too. And she's like, everybody goes gaga for the studio one now, but
right.
She's like, I'm going to go with the live version. So, you know, good on you, Kit. And it all depends on the mood. If you're in the car and you're flying down the road and you want to jam out, you put on that live version, you know. That was six for me.
Very good. Very good. All right, top five. The big hit in 74, Band on the Run, US number one here, UK number three. So didn't do as well in the UK, although again number three, it's not bad as seeing where he was in the UK at that point in time. It's again, it's a great song. It's probably going to be, I mean, when he goes, this will be the album that everybody will probably play or remember him by is, you know, the Band on the Run.
Let me put a hypothetical question to you. Side note, we're going to kind of just veer off here just a little bit and do a tangent, but I think we have to, because you bring this up a lot and obviously it's going to come one day. Somebody asks you, you know, after he's long gone, and they say, all right, Paul McCartney, pick five albums to listen to out of his whole career, a novice person. What five albums are you going to give that person out of 52 years? What are you giving him? What albums are you going to give them?
Well, I think you know.
Five records. What are you going to?
You still have to give them Band on the Run, no matter what. You have to give them Band on the Run. It's maybe Ram. Okay. Maybe Tug of War for sure. And then I'll probably go Chaos and Creation and, you know, any other album, you know, five, it could be the first album, McCartney. It could be Back to the Egg, you know. It could be Flowers in the Dirt.
Flaming Pie.
Yeah. Or Flaming Pie, absolutely. Flaming Pie. But you have to put Band on the Run in there if you're going to introduce somebody. You know, if someone says, hey, look, I'm kind of like, I've heard some stuff from this guy McCartney, you know, what album should I listen to? You have to include Band on the Run.
That's the first one you got to give him. I agree.
Right.
What I think is pretty, I don't know if it's pathetic, but it's going to be interesting. We're like McCartney-holics. We know it. We dissect everything. What can you imagine after he's gone, how many people are going to go digging through all his stuff and learning all this stuff and going, wow, that guy was pretty fucking good. And then we can say, yes, people, he is. We tried telling you. You should have listened to our show and watched us. We would have told you. But I just think he's got so much out there that the way society is that somebody dies and people go gaga and they get everything. You've brought this up.
Everything will sell out.
You've brought
everything
this up
will
many
sell out.
Times before. And people, and that's not a bad thing for people to discover music that they don't know. I'm doing this right now. You do it. I mean, but it's just going to be, you know, people who have preconceived notions about who McCartney is and then decide to, you know, take a little bit of a deeper dive into his catalog are going to go, damn, I really wish I did this sooner when he was alive. I would have appreciated it more.
And I hope it's those people that are the ones that say, well, he hasn't done anything good since, you know, Wings broke up. He hasn't done anything good since Tug of War. Right. He hasn't done anything good since Flaming Pie. I hope it's those people that, you know, go back and listen, go and reevaluate his career and say, damn, he did some great stuff. you know, in the 2000s, in the 2010s.
Yeah, they listen,
you know,
to, listen to Electric right. Arguments and go, holy shit, that's right. Really good.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, just a little bit of a side tangent. But
yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I just wanted to see a hypothetical what you would do because, you know, it's gonna happen. But where were you?
Five for you.
Five for me, 1976, and this is Silly Love Songs for me. Silly Love Songs, which I think Tom's going to have way higher. In fact, I know he will. Number one here, and what did it do in the UK? Well, of course, I lost my notes here. UK, two.
Mm-hmm.
Two in the UK. But on this, I love the song, okay? But I really, really love the Wings Over America version. In fact, I listened to that more than the studio one. You know, I listened to the live version of Silly Love Songs with the Rickenbacker and the band on fire cooking. That version smokes the studio version out of the water. The studio version is great. It's polished. It's perfect. It's got the chugging at the beginning and right to the bass line, which is fantastic. But the live version, off the charts, on fire, good for me. And I could have had it at one. Easily, I could have put it at number one, which I know you probably did.
Number four. Number one in the US, number six in the UK, and I'm going with Listen to What the Man Said. I like what you said about the live version, because the live version, it for me is just as enjoyable as the studio version that got released and became a number one hit. I love when he goes, because he's doing that, whoa, you know, he's going, whoa, you know, and, ooh, you know, when he's doing, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I like that. I really enjoy it because he's doing this. Yeah, it's a different take. Just a different take
always,
on the
I've
song.
I've loved how the end of it, you know, I'll break it up, boom, boom, boom.
Right,
but, like, That's different because it's a live version. It's different than the studio version. I love that.
Right. And it's just as catchy as the studio version. I mean, how should I say this? I mean, it's a good song. There's good songs, and then there's good songs that are made great when they're live. You know what I mean? Like, we've talked about this like before, like, Venus and Mars Rock Show they're good songs, but they become great songs when live on that 76 tour, you know, and it's just awesome. And then going into Jet, which is a great, good, you know, great song, but now it's a, you know, freaking fantastic song. You know, again, it's just the more of the energy, and, you know, and then plus there was a lot of energy put behind Listen to What the Man Said, that live version. But I really love the studio version as well. There's a lot
good
of energy.
You,
yeah.
Good to have you down here in New Orleans.
Yeah, I like that. And like you said, I love how it blends into Treat Her Gently. You know, I love that too. You know, so yeah, Listen to What the Man Said, my number four.
Thankfully I got to see him do that live in 2017. So I can also die in peace. He played that when I saw him in Newark, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was like the third song, and I'm like, ha, finally, you heard a Wings song.
Yeah, you know, he did it when I went to see him for the new album, for New. You know,
he did it.
I think, I think it was the third song, actually.
But he doesn't play piano. He doesn't play piano on it. He just plays the bass on it, which you would have loved him to get back to piano, but he left it all up to Wix.
He left it all to Wix. Yeah. So what's your four?
Four for me, going to his very first number one in the U.S. Hmm. And that's, Tom mentioned it before, Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. For me, it's more of a nostalgia pick. It's one of my earliest memories as a McCartney fan. Catchy, thinking, oh, this sounds like a Beatles song. Really liked it. I know, Tom, you said it doesn't scream number one million seller to you. Right. It does for me. It to me, it's like, okay, it could be on side two of Abbey Road. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah,
it could be on side two of Abbey Road. It's got everything in it, you know. So, and interesting, this song, along with a couple of songs, holds a rare distinction of never being performed live. And this is one of them. And this is one of them. You know, I couldn't see Wings, the 76 Wings, doing this song, because none of them were on it except for Paul and Linda. Mm-hmm. So You'd be interested. I mean, I don't think he'll do it now, but man, it was so cool to think if he had done a live somewhere, you know, or if they even attempted to do it live. I'm curious if that exists and somebody out there knows. I mean, that would be one hell of a live rendition to do Uncle Albert, but.
Right, yeah. He couldn't do it now, I don't think, but yeah, I mean, during the like the university tours or the Wings Over Europe, you know, Wings Over UK, you know, Wings in the UK, yeah, I mean, maybe then, but
then again, you know, touring being so primitive back then in the 70s, they couldn't have reproduced all those sounds.
There's too much production in that song,
But it's easily number four just because of the nostalgia factor, and it's a huge hit. But I don't get tired of it, so that's my number four.
All right, okay. Let's go number top three. Played this day before my birthday last week. It was
happy birthday to Tom. To
thank
Tom
you, thank you,
happy
thank
birthday.
You very much. Thank you very much. You know, I give this album crap sometimes. I love the A side, not the biggest fan of the B side, you know, but it's My Love, and US number one, UK number nine. I guess I just like it a little bit more than you do, but,
I love the song. I love it.
You're right. Right.
But
you can't deny Henry's guitar solo. I'm so glad that, because you hear, you know, Linda, you know, throughout 72 when they did it, when no one knew the song, you know, when it was never released, it was, you know, and they were going through it, I think, on both tours, the 72 and 73 tour, before the album was
before it was out.
Yeah, before it was even out, they were doing the track, and you know, you would hear Linda do the, you know, Paul would say My Love, and then Linda would repeat My
the
Love.
The call and response.
Right. And I've always been interested in that. You know, I always thought that, you know, it was okay, but I think it's just 10 times better now the way, you know, the way they recorded it and finished it. You know, I'm glad they didn't include that call and answer, you know.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked. But I mean, it's a classic McCartney recording, and it's, this could have easily been number one for me too. I mean, it's awesome. It's an awesome track.
Right.
Although I have to say, it hasn't aged well as a live recording. If you listen to recent live recordings of this song,
right?
Go listen to like the Back in the U.S. I mean, it's fast. I think Abe was even drumming fast on, and he kind of was just mailing it in. You know, it's like whoa. It's really not emphatic. It doesn't have that 73 delivery on it. He's kind of just mowing through it. You know, if you listen to that live version from 2002, the live album, it's very disappointing. It's not, or even from Paul's live. It's not even that good on that album either.
It just sounds like, you're right.
It just sounds like it didn't age well as a live number, in my opinion, My Love. And I don't know.
His vocals are so smooth on that recording. You know, again, I really just enjoy it. I mean, when that song is on, I stop what I'm doing and I just enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Oh, you have to. That's early AM radio at its highest. You know, it was still when it was dominating, and you know, classic early 70s piece of music, no matter how where you slice it. I mean, and especially if you've ever seen the video with the mullet is in full fledged force then. Full.
You're number three.
Number three for me. Tom had a few spots higher because it was newer for him as a grower. Three for me is Mull of Kintyre. UK, the best-selling single in the UK for quite a while until
84 Live Aid. Not Live Aid, sorry.
Right, and then before, previous to that was the She Loves You. So Paul had outsold him his old group with Mull of Kintyre. Beautiful song. It's a love song to Scotland, his second adopted home. He bought his house in up there, and at the height of really Beatlemania, I think he bought it in 64 or 65 up there in Scotland, and then he didn't really start going to it until he really got together with Linda he had it, but never really went up there. So it's a song I don't get tired of at all. I visited, I mean, you know, far have I traveled and much have I seen. It's it's almost like a Christmas song. It really is. Smiles in the sunshine and tears in the rain. Tears you don't get better lyric writing than that, man. You really don't. Still Take Me Back Where My Memories Remain. Dead. I'm dead right there. It's like a tearjerker almost. It's that good. It really is. So number three for me, easily.
Right on, brother. Number two. With a little luck, U.S. number one and, number five in the U.K. with a little luck. The track that I'm sure, they tried it out and it didn't work out. You know, I think Lauren said they were going to try to do it. They rehearsed it for the Japanese tour and just didn't sound good.
Didn't work out.
Yeah, there's video footage of it. Yeah, absolutely. However, that doesn't take away that it from its brilliance. It's I think a top-notch McCartney song. Silly, yes, but he's the king of silly as well. You know, it's uplifting. Yeah, it's uplifting. It's positive. You know, it's fresh, and I think it's everything good with his, you know, with music. It's everything I want to feel when I listen to music.
Yeah. In that 5 minutes and 45 seconds, the full version, not the radio edit, people.
Right. Do 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 do. You know.
But I mean, that middle section is what makes it. I mean, the whole song is great, but that's synth solo. And sorry, Dylan Seavey, if you're watching this, but you know. You're talking to two fans who love that song and he doesn't, but we love him anyway.
Right. And then when he comes back for the coda and then he's just ripping those, shredding the vocals on it. I mean, it's
now,
just,
I will you know. Criticize with a little luck in some form. The video. Mm-hmm. The video is a little cheesy. You know, like on that stage and all the kids dancing.
Michael Lindsay Hogg directed that.
He did. You know, and we could ask him about that one day if he ever comes on the show.
Right.
But I knew you'd have that up there.
Yep. All right, partner.
Two for me. UK number one, and that's Pipes of Peace. Yeah.
Mm.
Love Pipes of
Peace. Great. Yeah.
Great. Again, kind of Christmassy. Has a Christmassy vibe to it. Holiday time. Obviously the video coincides with the Christmas Day, the peace day between the French and the German soldiers fighting. And obviously that kind of goes hand in hand with the concept. But the theme of Pipes of Peace, and it's, you know, I think, you know, he's got the children's choir on it. He's got the great, there's a tabla on it. You know, there's a lot of good work in that song.
Yes.
And it's just a great message. It's just a great message. I light a candle to our love. You know, and loves and all, everything disappears. It's just a great, message.
Agreed.
And it's a great message and it's a song I don't get tired of. This book only goes up to 1980. I don't know what it did. Well, because it was the B side. It wasn't an A side in America. So Bad was. So interesting. If it was an A side here, how would it have done? You know, I don't know. But clearly, it did very well in the UK and, was his last solo number one, right?
In the UK.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'd have to go back. Cause I think Ebony and Ivory was, Say was released before Pipes of Peace. So if that's the case, then yes, Pipes of Peace would have been his last, number one anywhere.
Yeah.
Single wise.
Very interesting when you think about that. But it's just a great theme and a great sentiment. And I love how the song starts and ends the same way.
Right.
You know, light a candle to our love.
Candle to our love. Right.
And then it closes with the same thing. You know, and it has the George Martin orchestration throughout the whole thing. And it ends perfectly. Boom. Mm-hmm. Over. It's McCartney. It's on that with a little luck spectrum of excellent songwriting, production, melody, everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's
cool. Yeah. All right. Number one, if you're listening, if you're following, you know what mine is, and that's Silly Love Songs. I think this propelled him to another stratosphere, just another galaxy, another universe, whatever you want to say. I mean, the single was, was massive, number one here, number two in the UK. So it almost went number one on both sides. But, to have that number one going into, a big tour, your first US tour, that just means a lot. It was probably meant a lot for him. And plus it's just a great song. And to think that they recorded it in between the tours, the 75 and then, and then going into,
right. So
the 76 tour.
It's the right. Whole album was made
right.
In between the tours. So
in between tours,
which
right.
Starts in 75, knowing that you're going right. To the, and I think the song was really written. A lot of those bigger numbers on Wings of the Speed of Sound were written with the mind of playing live, and Silly Love Songs mm-hmm. obviously is one of them.
Right. And and then the three piece between Linda, Denny, and Paul, on those certain, on two times during the song. It's just amazing. I mean, this is what Wings built up to be. This is, I think, the peak of what, this is the peak. This is, I mean, even though I know With a Little Luck was another number one after that, but this was like the heights of their powers. I mean, they could do no wrong at this point in time in their career. And this was just, I think this is a perfect song. I think this is, the best single, period. If we were ranking singles, I think I would probably have this at number one as well. I think it was just a very important song, and it succeeded. And it was a big middle finger to the critics as well.
It's awesome, because it's just an F you to them.
Right. Absolutely. So yeah, Silly Love Songs. Yeah, absolutely.
Great sentiments. And there's so many layers to that song. The
right.
Vocal parts, the how can I tell you about all
right.
all that stuff. And then it coming back again and again. That's, McCartney's bass playing on Silly Love Songs, whether it's the live or the studio. I mean, it's right. That is one of the most recognizable bass
yes.
riffs you're ever going to hear.
And yes.
It's awesome. Again, it's the Rickenbacker mm-hmm. bass. It's the Wings bass, which was a heavy. I mean, he was only in his 30s then, so he can move around a little bit. That's why he doesn't use it. So he says the Rickenbacker.
Right.
He said it's too heavy for him now.
You imagine him bringing that out at 80?
Oh my God. He'd be like down to his like, yeah, he'd be like,
right.
Yeah, but I mean, go watch that video live. You know, when it gets to that bridge, middle eight section. Love right. doesn't come in a minute. Boom, boom, minute. Boom, 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 boom. Sometimes boom, it doesn't come
yep.
at all. The
dun, dun, dun,
dun. Yep. And then, it isn't silly. I mean, and it just goes off the charts. It is so good. I could rewatch
right.
that clip like 100 times of him just, strutting across the stage, killing it on the bass. It is phenomenal.
Right.
But a great pick.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's funny you said bridge middle eight, because that was supposed to be what we were supposed to do today, but we had to, we had to switch the schedules around. But great, great middle eight as well. I mean,
I only know that awesome. Way in a minute. Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom. Boom. Oh, yeah. It isn't
so
silly.
Yeah. Oh, it yeah. isn't.
Yeah.
Good choice, partner. Good choice.
Yeah.
My number one, you should all know, you're all keeping score at home right here, baby. Yeah. Oh yeah!
Take that, Ted.
Yeah. All right, Ted. Another one. Who doesn't like With a Little Luck?
Right.
Ed Montgomery. Look at this artwork. I love it. Hanging on there.
Right.
Recently acquired at the Fast Sheet Music. If you bought it back in the day, it only cost $1.50. Wow. Everything that Tom said about With a Little Luck, I am 100% in agreement with. It's the ethos of Paul McCartney as a person. As an optimist,
right.
as a good person, a father figure, the message in it, it's all those things. And it's just a well-crafted song that goes places musically that's very adventurous with the solo, with the synthesizer solo. That was kind of,
mm-hmm.
the synths obviously in the 70s were kind of cutting edge. He was a little late to the game with the synths and stuff like that in terms of incorporating them into his own music. They obviously were a lot bigger with prog music, but he really kind of brought them into his own there a little bit there in 78, obviously with McCartney too.
Right.
He went crazy with it, but I love it. I mean, just that I mean, the radio edit, which is 3:45 or whatever it is just criminal. You know, I could be driving in the car, and if not that I listen to FM radio anymore, but when I was a kid, sure enough, that was the one they were playing. But every once in a while, you'd hear them play the full version, and you'd be like, oh, mm-hmm. The DJ actually had some guts today. He played the 5:45 version. You know, and it's
right.
It's great. It's sequenced very good on the album too. If you're listening to it on vinyl, it kicks off side two, which is perfect. You know, it opens up side two. I'm pretty sure that's right. I don't think it closes side.
And kudos for putting that longer version on the Wings Greatest as well. You know, they could have easily edited that for that release.
I think if we're counting McCartney compilations, and we've done a show on this, All the Best is the edit.
Yes.
Wingspan is the edit. And sure, I think Pure McCartney is the edited version too. I don't think that's the full version. I'd have to listen to it again, but I don't think the 5:45 version is the one on Pure McCartney. Maybe one of our viewers can clarify, but I don't think that is either. So Wings Greatest, in fact, when that got remastered, when that got put out again in 2018, that song was remixed with a little luck. Was remixed for that.
That's right.
With a Little Luck was remixed for that Wings Greatest compilation that came out when they did the CD version. And then obviously on vinyl too, when it came out. But With a Little Luck was remixed, the 5:45 version. So you know, London Town is being worked on. Not that we're looking for London Town archive comments, anybody.
Right. He's been close to a few more number ones. I mean, another day was number two in the UK. So I mean, that could have been a number one. Let 'Em In could have been a number one in the UK, but only went to number two. Went to number three here in the States. Jet was seven on both sides of the Atlantic.
Jet was seven in both.
Yeah, Junior's Farm was number three. That was close. You had Hell on Wheels at 10. You had Live and Let Die here at number two.
So that could have been
a 12th number one right there. You got you got Take It Away at 10. You got No More Lonely Nights at number two in the UK, and number six here. You got Good Night Tonight, number five on both sides of the Atlantic.
Here and also there.
We All Stand Together was UK number three.
Close the show, I want to talk about We All Stand Together real quick, but continue.
Yeah. And then Spies Like Us was US 7. What Once Upon a Long Ago was what in the UK? Do you recall? 10.
Okay. 10. It was a top 10 single. Just give me 1 second. But obviously no US release. But that was a top 10 single. Hold on. I think that was probably it, really. I mean, nothing else. Well, and The Hope of Deliverance obviously wasn't that was a big hit in Germany or something.
In France and Germany, I think it was. Or Spain or something like that. Spain, maybe.
Right. So Once Upon a Long Ago. So let's see. This came out in November of 87. And obviously in a multitude of formats, charts. So, okay. Yeah, it got to 10. It got to 10 in 10. The UK. Okay. And in Belgium, it got to 4.
Interesting. And interesting that the closest he got to having two number ones on the same album or from the same album was Pipes of Peace, where Say was number two in the UK, and then Pipes of Peace, the song, was number one in the UK. That was the closest.
And people crap on that album, but it had two huge hits on it.
Right. And then the closest he got here in the States was with Speed of Sound, when with Let 'Em In going to number three. And then, you know, obviously we know Silly Love Songs was number one.
Number one. Right.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I thought Let 'Em In was the bigger hit, like before I knew the charts and how things did.
Right.
For some reason, I always thought Let 'Em In was the bigger hit for whatever reason. And obviously Silly Love Songs was like the smash hit.
Right.
Obviously.
Right. But you wanted to say something about We All Stand Together?
Just a quick shout out. I noticed this today. I saw this got published. Our good friend Owen Ling wrote a piece for the Far Out magazine, which is in the UK. And he wrote a piece called Why We All Stand Together is one of Paul McCartney's strongest works. And it was published today. So if you follow Owen, it's a great article and he makes a lot of great points. And I agree with him 100% on it. But a lot of people like to crap on Paul and writing these kids' songs and nursery rhymes and lullabies, and which I am a staunch defender of all those songs. Mary Had a Little Lamb, hint, hint. So, but bravo, Owen, on bringing some attention to this song and defending it as it rightly should be. I mean, and it won. I mean, for the it won a BAFTA for the film. It won a BAFTA, which, if you don't know, is the British version of the Academy Awards. So it's highly respected, and it should be as an animated feature and as a song.
Yep. Yeah, I posted that on our Facebook page. So if you want to check out, go to Two Legs Facebook page, and you can check that article out and let us know what you think. Andy, you started a new channel I wanted to talk to you about. And, and it's kind of like an addition to you and your favorite, your other favorite acts that you're very passionate about. And, tell us about that.
Yeah, I this kind of was on the heels of what you and I did with our live show last year when we kind of did our three episodes of kind of talking about other music. It was a great idea you had to launch just to do breakout something different, and people loved it. And I really, really enjoyed doing that. I liked reading the comments and seeing what people had in common with us, your choices, my choices, difference. And I wanted to do something like that. I've been wanting to do something like that for a while. And I decided just the other day, I said, well, today I'm going to do it. I just launched the page and it's called The Other Leg, Andy's Music Vault. And I'm going to drop episodes really whenever I kind of feel like it, but I'm going to try to stick to a schedule of at least do it once a month. Obviously Two Legs is my focus and my passion, and that comes first. But I'm going to cover all of my favorites and how I got into them and how I discovered them and kind of and tackle them all. And I'm going to try to drop an episode once a month, maybe twice, kind of go over all this music that I've been collecting and kind of tell everybody about it. So the first episode's up, and I did it on Procol Harum. So, and it's, I've got 31 subscribers, and some of them all came from our live stream. So thank you for those that subbed, and I'll be posting on that and keeping updates on that as well. So thank you.
Cool. Yeah. And I look forward to see who you're going to be talking about next, because obviously when you look behind you, you see a lot of, a lot of other music, obviously, in the other room there to your right, you've got all your, all the the more meaningful, stuff over there,
Oh, you saw it. That's the A plus.
That's the A plus. Yeah. No, but I enjoyed you here. I enjoyed listening to you talk about Procol Harum. I thought, those were always, it was just one of those, B tier bands for me, growing up and listening to classic rock radio. It was always, Whiter Shade of Pale, Conquistador. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and you've got a book there. I've recently picked up a couple of their albums and giving them a chance and enjoying some of it. So, going to continue discovering their music.
That's awesome. If anybody learns anything from it and says, "Oh, I'm going to give that a shot," I've done that with you. You've done that with me, and that's the beauty of sharing the music, just to explore it. Yeah. What albums did you get, bro? What did you got? Broken Barricades.
The first one, and then what was the one with the faces on top of the album?
Broken Barricades.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Right, Robin Trower's last album. Yeah. Oh, and I'm glad. Okay. I'm glad. Just it's good to dip your toes in the water. You'll never know. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, okay, I tried it. And you, if anything, you learned a little something. And
you move on. Yeah, exactly. I've been on the lookout for the 2 to 3 disc, sets that they've, released over the last, 5, 6 years, whatever it was. And they sound great. They're remastered wonderfully, and a lot of bonus material that I would have never thought that they had.
Ton of bonus material, and they even did a cover of the Beatles' 8 Days a Week, actually, on one of their albums too, to try to, when they were kind of fading and waning in popularity. There, they did a half baked attempt of 8 Days a Week, but. It's been such a journey, and obviously Gary Brooker passed away in February, and I got on board with them last year, but obviously never got a chance to see them. But there's loads of video footage out there, and much missed, and just I have not gotten tired listening to any of their music. I mean, I have 10 or 11 albums and I have a long way to go, but it's been quite a journey.
Right. Cool. All right.
More to come. Excellent. I think next installment, you might see this guy in this shirt, I think.
Oh, Dylan. There you go. Well, I mean, there's already been a lot said about him. You know, I'm interested to see what you got to say about his catalog, you know. So, look forward to that. Make sure you put the link to that channel and, you know, here, and, you know, make sure you check it out, guys. And, you know, if these bands are some of your friends, cause you know, you're more of a prog guy, you know, and you know, this is a great channel for you guys to kind of, you know, join in on that, you know, that prog thing that I'm only scratching the surface on, you know.
Hey, you saw Steve Hackett, bud. You're in like Flynn.
Yes. You know, and then, yeah, I'm still blown away by that show. That was kind of seeing Hackett do the seconds out was kind of like me seeing the Nick Mason show a few years back when he was out doing all those early Pink Floyd songs. Yeah. It was just a fantastic show that I couldn't recommend enough. You know, so it's just awesome to see somebody from the band, you know, keeping those songs alive, you know, kind of like what Hackett was doing with, you know, a lot of those early Genesis albums, going out and doing the whole thing, you know,
Selling England by the Pound and Foxtrot,
right.
Nursery Crime, which I know is your favorite. We'll get you fully hooked in on Genesis. I'm working on them, folks. I'm going to hook them in hook, line and sinker. He's getting there, but I'm working on it.
Very good. Very good.
We'll start another. All
right.
Podcast.
Anything else?
No.
Right.
No. No, it's been a busy period for all of us. And thank you, everybody, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. There's the YouTube channel, which we talked about prior, you know, at the beginning of the show. We reached our goal of 1,000 subscribers. Thank you guys again. Please continue to check us out. We got a lot more stuff in the works, and I'm sure you know, Andy and I are just going to continue having a good time doing these shows. So thank you, Andy, for joining me on this journey, if you will. And, you know, take us out of here.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. We will see you next week for episode 164 on Two Legs. So for Tom, I'm Andy. Have a good night tonight.